Amen and amen. Praise God. You're welcome this morning. And let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to begin right there this morning and look at a few other scriptures as we go along. Psalm chapter 25. And let us read together from the very first verse through to verse 5. Psalm chapter 25, from verse 1 to 5. Let's go. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning. Thank you that we have come to the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. And so with meekness, we approach your word. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that we may clearly see what you are showing us out of your holy written word this morning. And help us, dear Lord, not just to be hearers of your word only, but to be doers as well. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth, now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. This morning we are going to talk on something that is so similar to the song the worship leader led us to sing today. She probably was reading my notes in the spirit, because we have to know God for who he truly is. There's no point just following God for following sake without knowing who he is. We have to know him. We have to know him. You see, the more we know God, the better we can walk with him. The more we know God, the better we can trust in him. The more we know God, the better we can have confidence in him and expectation of him at all times. And as the psalmist says, yeah, we will never be ashamed. We will never be put to shame when we really know God, because in knowing who God is, we will wait upon him all our days. The problem with many of us is that in following Christ, we just think religiously. We don't take time to reflect on the truth and allow the truth to register deep within us and become the motivation of our hearts on a daily basis. Bible says the just shall live by faith. And our faith can only operate to the degree of the knowledge of the truth that we have. It's as simple as that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more I know God, the more I can have faith in God. It's as simple as that. But if I don't know God as I ought to know him, then my faith will not be as it ought to be. And for me to have confidence in God, particularly in these last days, the Bible speaks about, you know, being days of evil and perilous experiences in all the world. Why? Because the devil knows that he has but a little time. That's why there's more evil in our days. That's why people are bold to come out and do evil nowadays than they would probably have done, say, some 50 years ago. Things that people would not have been able to come out boldly to do 50 years ago. Today, they do those things openly with boldness because the devil knows he has but a short time. And so he's perpetrating more evil. But in the midst of it all, God has given us the capacity to walk in victory. God has given us the capacity to live the life of the overcomer as he expects us to be. So we have to grow in the knowledge of the truth. We have to know God for ourselves. And don't depend on other people's knowledge of God. You have to know God for yourself. You have to grow in the knowledge of God because you are a child of God. You have to know your Father and know him real well so that you can trust in him and have confidence in him and walk through this life depending absolutely on him because you know who he is. He is the God who never fails, like we sang this morning. He is the promise keeper. He is the way maker. He is the light in the darkness for us. He is everything that we need. He is the miracle working God. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 5, we are going to be spending some time there to see what we need to see. But let's back up to the first verse again, Psalm 25. Verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now, David wrote this psalm. And we all know the background to the life of David. David, since the time that God literally called him and, you know, anointed him to be king in the place of Saul, he had plenty of troubles. If I saw moved by the evil spirit that came upon him, that's the evil spirit upon Saul, wanted to kill David. And that's how the devil is. The moment he sees that God has put his hand upon your life, he will do everything to try to stop you from fulfilling the potential that God has for you. And we also know that before that, David, trusting in God, relying on God, had killed the giant of the Philistines called Goliath. And the devil was not happy about that. Because in killing Goliath, David succeeded in delivering the people of God from fear and oppression that Goliath had put them under. See, all that Goliath needed to do was come out in the morning on the hill, as Bible says, and cry out and say, give me a man to fight with me. And all of Israel, all the armies of Israel, including King Saul himself, will run into hiding. That's some form of terrorism. For somebody to come out and just make a loud noise and everybody fears and run into hiding. The whole nation was living in fear of one man called Goliath, one giant, so-called giant. But here comes one little boy, looked at the same giant that was making all the army of Israel run from battle. I said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Where is he? He looks big, but he's nothing. Who is he to defy the armies of Israel? You people, don't you know God? That's my paraphrase. Don't you know God? Even his elder brother told him, you're a little boy. What are you doing here? This is not a place for you. This is the place for soldiers. And yet they couldn't fight one battle. So, You're just a shepherd boy. This is battlefield. We are the trained soldiers. We are the people to fight the battle. And yet they couldn't fight one battle. You see, they had weapons, but they did not know God. And many of us in the body of Christ, we are like that today. We have the Bible, but we don't know God. So in the midst of trouble and in the day of trial, instead of being bold to face the trial and face the trouble, knowing God is with us and knowing the might of the God on our side, we run from the trouble. We run. But when we know God, we can stand in the midst of trouble. We can stand in the day of temptation and boast in our God and say, devil, you are a liar. You are a loser. I can tell you right from the outset, you are going to lose in this situation, because with God on my side, I'm more than a conqueror. That's how people who know God talk. They talk like that, not because of themselves, but because of God. So David came on the scene and looked at the giant and said, today, you big for nothing giant, I'm going to take off your head and I'm going to show to all that God, the God of Israel, is God indeed, because he is God. You are nothing. And I'm sure when he was saying that, his brothers and the rest of the army would have been thinking, hey, this David wants to cause us big trouble. We have enough trouble with this giant. Now for somebody to insult him, he may really get so offended and destroy all of us. But didn't Goliath fall on the same day that David said? He fell. What made the difference between David and Saul and the rest of the armies of Israel? David knew God. While he was a shepherd boy, before God came to him to call him and anoint him to be the next king after Saul, he was meditating on God in the wilderness. While he was a shepherd boy, he was always thinking about God, meditating on the goodness of God, getting to know God. So when the bear came to take one of the flock of his father, not even his own flock, David didn't own the flock. His father owned him. But you see the faithfulness of David already, knowing how to keep what belongs to his father. That's stewardship. So when God needed somebody to be a good steward of his belonging, the people of Israel, he knew who to go to. And this one will keep whatever I commit into his hands. He will be faithful to look after what I commit to him. He has proven himself faithful in the little. Now I can give him much. So when the bear came, David fought the bear and killed him. How dare you come to steal one of the flock of my father? I'm not going to sit down here and let you do that. The lion came, he smote the lion also. So when he stood before King Saul, he had a good CV to present. When Saul was saying, "But who are you here? You are just a little boy. This person you want to go and fight is a seasoned soldier. You are not even a soldier. See, that Goliath has been through many battles. He knows the heart of war. But who are you, this little boy? This is too much for you." David said, "You don't know anything." "I was in the place where nobody saw me, but God only. A bear came. I smote him with my bare hands. I didn't even use sword. I didn't use bow and arrow. I didn't use any weapon. I killed the bear with my hand because I trusted in God. A lion came. I did the same thing because I relied on the strength of God." So I'm sure when Saul heard that kind of testimony, he must have wondered, well, if somebody can kill a bear with bare hands and a lion with his bare hands, well, that's already a miracle. Well, in that case, then go and face the Goliath. God will be to, but take my hammer, because that man you are going to face is a seasoned soldier. Take my shield. David said, no, I have not tested this. I don't rely on carnal weapons. I know God in whom I've already tested his goodness before, because I trusted him with the bear. I trusted him with the lion. So why should I use another weapon now? I'm going to face Goliath relying on the same God that saved me out of the paws of the bear and those of the lions. Hallelujah. The God that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and out of the hand of the bear will deliver me and deliver Israel from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine called Goliath. So what are we talking about? David knew God. And that's why he said here, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Remember when we talk about the soul, we are talking about the reasoning faculty in us. We are talking about our emotions and our will with which we make choices. So David is saying, all my sensibilities, all my faculties, all my thoughts, all my choice, all my feelings, everything is committed to God. So whatsoever comes my way, all I'm thinking about is God. How I'm feeling is God. The choices I'm making is God. Because my soul is lifted to God. I don't think about the problem. I think about God that is bigger than the problem. I don't think about the situation contrary to me. I think about God who is on my side. I don't feel the pain that the enemy wants me to feel in this situation. I feel the comfort of God that is with me, who never leaves me nor forsake me. Said unto you, I lift up my soul. Everything about me is in communion with God. Nothing is going to distract me. Devil, try as much as you like. You are not going to take my feelings and my emotions and my thinking and reasoning away from God. Because I know who he is. He's bigger than all these other things in life. He is the reason why I live. You can take everything from me. Just give me God alone. I'm more than happy. As long as I have God. What's the point of me losing God and having all these other things? They are nothing. At the end of the day, they are nothing. God is the real substance to life. So David said unto you, I lift up all my soul. Nothing else matters to me apart from God. Because I know he is the maker of all things. When I have him, then I have everything. Do I need wisdom? He will give it to me when I need it. Do I need protection? He will give it to me when I need it. Do I need victory? He will give it to me when I need it. As we sang this morning. He is my everything. He is the one that can look after me, save me, deliver me, help me, give me everything. Therefore, why should I look away from him even for one moment of my life? So he said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now look at verse 3. David was such a nice man that walked even in the love of God before Christ came to teach us the ways of the love of God. Look at what he began to say even in verse 3. He's not thinking about himself alone. He's thinking even about other people, encouraging them to do exactly what he was doing in terms of his relationship with God. So it says in verse 3, yea, let none that waits on thee be ashamed. He's even praying for everyone else in the midst of his own trouble. How many of us today in the body of Christ, when we have trouble, remember to pray for others? When you call prayer meeting, people who have trouble say, well, I have enough trouble of my own. Those to pray and pray for the nations, pray for other people. Well, I need more time for my own trouble. My own trouble is actually more than enough. I don't have enough time to pray for my trouble. Well, you, as long as you focus on your own trouble, you keep having plenty and you can't overcome them. Why don't you focus on God and remember to just pray for others as God says you should do? You see? When we focus on God, nothing else bothers us. We can't be distracted by the enemy's strategy. Now look at verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. I believe that's one prayer every one of us should pray every day. Show me your ways, O God. Give me understanding to walk in your ways. We all need that every day. Now verse 5, that's where we are going. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Now please underline in your Bible. This is what we all need to understand very, very clearly. He said, for thou, in other words, the reason why Paul is asking God to show him his ways, the reason why he's asking him to teach him, the reason why he's looking to God for guidance is written right here. He said, for thou art the God of my salvation. Thou art the God of my salvation. Thou art the God of my salvation. You see the wisdom of David? So he's asking God, teach me your ways. Show me your path. Do all these things to bring me into the knowledge of you as the God of my salvation. For me to know you as the God of my salvation. The God that is there for me to save me at all times. The word salvation there is a word that is more than many of us think of when we talk about salvation. Because most of the time when we talk about salvation, we are just talking about being saved from sin. Well, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. Remember, because of the sin of Adam, a curse came upon this earth and problems came because of sin. So the word salvation there covers all that happened because of the sin of man. It will include the deliverance of every one of us out of everything under the curse of the law, including sickness, oppression, affliction, everything that the devil has come to do here on earth. That word salvation covers everything. So you can see it this way. The God that saves me out of everything contrary to me in all aspects of my life. Just see it that way. Because it is from that same word that is translated salvation here that we get the name of Jesus himself. Yeshua. The same word here. Yes, sir. Because in Hebrew, the word translated salvation here is yesa. It derives, in fact, put your finger there, turn with me to Psalm chapter 68. It's a derivation or derivative of the word Yeshua, the fullness of the name of God himself in Christ Jesus. Yeshua. So yesa there telling us that God is the God that ministers salvation to us because he is the Savior. That's what David is saying there in Psalm 25. He ministers salvation because he's the Savior. Now, when we come to Psalm 68, the full word Yeshua is used there to help us understand that God himself is the source of all our salvation, our deliverance out of all troubles, our preservation, our welfare, our prosperity, our peace, our health, our healing, our everything that we need to live successfully and live victoriously in all aspects of life. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Here, the Hebrew word used is Yeshua. In other words, God. God of our salvation is Yeshua himself that brings us salvation, Yesah, that is mentioned in Psalm 25. Now, how did David catch this kind of revelation? Well, because he had a heart for God, the Holy Spirit taught him. When you have a heart for God, the Holy Spirit will teach you. It's as simple as that. He is the teacher and the guide into truth. We see that David was always humbling himself, asking God to teach him, asking God to guide him into all truth. He humbled himself to ask God to teach him. And if we all do that, if on a daily basis we humble ourselves to ask God to teach us the truth, to ask God to guide us in the way of the truth, we will never fall short of the expectation that God has for us as his people. God has a potential for every one of us. He has an expected end for us. And that expected end is always good. It's always victorious. There is no defeat in God. We just have to understand that. So again, Psalm 68 verse 19, we see clearly who God is. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Again, underline your Bible, the God of our salvation. The God of our salvation. He is the one that helps us. It's the one that saves us. It's the one that delivers us out of every kind of trouble that we may have in this life. We don't need to look elsewhere. We don't need to run from pillar to post looking for help. We already know where our help is coming from. The same thing the psalmist said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. You see how specific he was? He knew where his help was coming from. He didn't say, I will try God to see whether I can get help from him. So if he fails me, I will look for help elsewhere. No, he was very precise as to where his help was coming from. Only one source. Not two sources. No alternative. As far as he was concerned, there is only one source of help that I have. And that is God himself who created all things. And that's how you are now to live as Christians. Because as long as we're in this world, we will need God's help on a daily basis. Every day. Not occasionally. We need help every day. For instance, for you to go out of your house in the morning and come back safe at night, you needed God's protection. If you don't realize that, you better realize it now. Because we are living in perilous times. There is danger all over the place. Many people get out of their bed in the morning, say they are going to work, and tell their family, see you later, and never come back home later to see the family. Are we better than them? No. It is of the mercies of the Lord. It is because God gives his angels charge over us that the evil one could not destroy us. We have to understand these things. Every day we need God. We can't keep ourselves alive. It is God who sustains us. And so that's why the psalmist says, yeah, God is the God of our salvation. Who daily loads us with benefits. Every day. Every day we need him. Now let's go back to Psalm 25. Verse 5 again. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth. In other words, God, lead me in your own truth. You have the truth. No one else has it. God is the God of truth. Anything that challenges the word of God is a lie. It may make sense. It may sound logical. But it is not of God. Therefore, it's a lie. The devil is behind it. The devil is very cunning. Very smart. He's behind so many knowledge in the world. But those forms of knowledge that are not in harmony with the truth, which is the word of God, they cannot help you. So there is no point wasting your time with them. That's why David said, well, I need the truth of God. I don't need any other form of knowledge. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Why? Because you are the God of my salvation. I'm not looking to man for salvation. I'm not looking to any created thing or created being for salvation. I'm looking to you, the Creator. You alone are my salvation. And so, I want to submit to us this morning that every one of us have to spend time in the Word of God and humble ourselves, asking Him to show us, teach us, to know Him as the God of our salvation, so we can depend on Him every day of our lives. When we come to that place in our Christian walk, we will enter into what Bible describes as the rest that belongs to the people of God. We are in the world, we are not of the world, we are of God. And we have to learn how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Get to know Him individually. We cannot live on borrowed knowledge. By borrowed knowledge, I mean living on other people's knowledge of God. I have to get to know Him for myself. I have to pay the price. Spend the time in the Word of God as David did even while he was a shepherd boy. He paid the price. He meditated on God. Took time to pray. Took time to praise. Took time to wait upon the Lord. And the Holy Spirit was teaching him because he was seeking for the truth. When you seek, you shall find, Bible says. Many of us don't seek the knowledge of God. Many of us value other things of this world more than the knowledge of God. How many of us as Christians will be honest enough to say our priority is the Word of God? Many of us don't have the Word of God as our priority. Other things are the priority. The Word of God, when we have time, we open the Bible. If we don't have time for the next 1 month, let the Bible stay where it is. When we need it, we'll look for it. Sometimes we may have to spend 1 hour even trying to figure out where we left it the last time we read it. But the Bible should be your best companion. You should have it by you all the time, because you should be meditating in it every day of your life. David did that. That's why he had so much victory. He had so much problems, but he overcame every one of them because God was by his side. Hallelujah. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And then he goes on to say, on thee do I wait all the day. When you know God as the God of your salvation, you will be able to do what David did. You will wait on God all day. Oh, does that mean I won't do any other thing? Oh, that's not what we're talking about. See, again, religion has messed us up too much. Religion is no good. No. God has not called us to follow religion. God has called us to enter into a living relationship with Jesus, our Savior, who came to gather us unto Himself as a flock, that we may know Him and walk in His steps. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep of His pasture. That's true Christianity. It's a relationship with Christ Himself. Getting to know Him. And growing in that knowledge. And walking in His steps. And none of us can do that without knowing Him. That's why David said, teach me. We need Him to teach us because He is our rabbi. And that's why He has put His Spirit in us to teach us and guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. Let's make some notes that we can take home and meditate in this morning. The first statement we want to make is this. You need to understand and think, You see, by that I mean, let this understanding be your meditation. Let it be something you think upon all day long. Reflect on it. That was what David was doing back in the wilderness, getting to know God. So when the bear came, David knew how to trust in God to give him victory over the bear. When the lion came, David knew how to trust God to give him victory and save him out of the hand of the lion. Do you think that if David had not been meditating on God, he would have been bold to face the lion or the bear? You reflect on that for a moment. He would have been the first one to run and say, well, bear, eat as much as you can. Even my father will say that I've done the wise thing. Because it's better for him to lose some of the sheep than to lose me, his son. He will just run home, abandon the flock there and run home for safety. That's what many of us would have done, isn't that so? But because David had already taken time to meditate on God, he had gone to that extent, or come up to that level of trusting in God to save him out of every situation. So he knew God would save him out of the hand of the bear, save him out of the hand of the lion. That was why he faced them and said, God, get out of you. You want to steal the flock of my father? Boom! With one blow, he struck the lion dead. One blow, because we didn't hear him fighting for long and tiring himself out. One blow, boom! Struck the bear dead. Just like one sling one shot from his sling brought Goliath down. He had learned to trust in God, to be his savior, to be his very present help in trouble, in every situation, to fight his battles for him and give him the victory in every situation. That's what we are talking about. So you need to understand and think of God not just as God. No, God is not just God to us as Christians. No. He's not just God. He's more than God to us. He's our Father and the God of our salvation. The one who is there to save us in every situation of life. We all have to know that. Because we have a relationship with him. It's not religion. He's our Father. We are his children. That's talking about relationship. For religious people, God is just God. Someone so far away from them. And they are trying hard to please him. Because they don't really know him. And they are even living in fear. To the extent that they even think if they do anything, he's just ready with a big stick to hit them on the head. And say, how did you mess it up? Good for nothing. That's some people's idea of God. That's religion for you. But relationship tells me, well, Father, I messed up there. But I know who you are. You are the God of mercy. Oh, you will not cast me away because of what I did wrong there. If I cry out for your mercy, you will forgive me. Because you are the forgiving God. That's relationship. And that gives you confidence. Even when you have messed up, to run back to God like the prodigal son. To run back to him and say, Father, have mercy on me. And the father will say, welcome home, my son. But religion will tell you, you miss it. Oh, you are finished. You took that wrong step. Forget it. You can never get back to God. God is not interested in people like you. You are very useless. You are good for nothing. Don't even make mention of God anymore. You are finished. That's religion for you. See the difference? Big difference. So you need to understand and think of God, not just as mere God, but as the God of your salvation. Personal. Make it personal now. In front of that, you can write the scripture, Psalm 68 verse 19 that we looked at earlier, and also Psalm 25 verse 5 that we are looking at now. Secondly, make this statement, please. Please write this down. In truth, the name that God the Father gave to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, reflects him as the God of our salvation. In front of that, please write the scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and let's quickly turn there. So, this is what God wants us to understand. He wants us to know him as our Savior, so that we know who to look to in the time of need. We know who to run to in the day of trouble. Because if you don't know him as the God of your salvation, you will be looking for help in wrong places. Because you don't really know where your help is going to come from. You don't know who is going to help you get out of this trouble. Who is going to deliver me out of this situation. So I'm looking for somebody to help me. But if you really are taking time to reflect on God as the God of your salvation, and you know him as the God of your salvation, oh, he will be the first one you go to. You won't even think about any other. The first person you run to in the day of trouble is God. God, save me out of this mess in the name of Jesus, because you are the God of my salvation. And God will never fail you. As David said, you will never be put to shame when you wait upon God with that knowledge of God being the God of your salvation. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Oh, glory be to God in the highest, the God of our salvation, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You will call his name Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua. You will call his name Jesus, because he is coming for a purpose, to save the people out of their sin, and by implication, to save them out of all the byproducts of sin. Because sin brought the curse, and the curse brought all the troubles we have in the world today. So if the root is dealt with, then all the byproducts are included also as what he came to save us from. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that. So God the Father gave his name to his Son and sent him into this world in that name to do what God the Father himself does. And that is to save people. God is a God that saves people out of trouble. Even if the greatest sinner in the world today turns to God and says, God, have mercy on me, a great sinner. Forgive me. I don't want to continue in this sin. Help me, God. Immediately, God will hear that cry and save the person. Remember, Jesus said so in Luke chapter 18. Remember? Two people came to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a sinner. The Pharisee listed all his good qualities, boasted about himself, and then looked at the sinner and said, I thank God I'm not like that sinner there. See? And he thought he was good enough to get God's attention. And Jesus said God didn't hear his prayer. But the sinner, the one that was looked down upon, Jesus said was not even bold enough to look to heaven, because he felt so much penitence on the inside. He just bowed his head in shame and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said that person's prayer was heard in heaven, because God is the Savior. He saves people. When we cry to him, he will save us. That's the nature of God. He's not going to tell you, well, you see, you that did all the bad thing, why are you coming to me now? You know, that's how we are as humans. Sometimes we have preferences. When some people come, you're not in my good book. Why are you coming to me? Huh? I don't have time for you, but when somebody in my good book comes, okay, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, my good book. I'm here for you because I know. Oh, God is no respecter of persons. God will save everyone that calls to him. Even a sinner today, Christ to God, God will hear their cry and save them. That's how God is. We have to know him. Now, finally, how do we then experience what the God of salvation can do for us daily? So, write this down. How do we experience what the God of salvation can do for us every day of our life? The number one thing we have to do is to wait upon him. If you want to experience what the God of salvation can do for you, turn back with me to Psalm 25. You have to wait upon him every day. And don't use God as the means of getting out of trouble only when you're in trouble. Develop a living relationship with him every day. Whether you have trouble or not, wait upon the Lord. Sometimes all you want to even just do is go before the Lord and just say, Father, I've just come to sit at your feet this morning. I can't put my finger on any particular need that I have, but I just want you to know that I love you. And I just want you also to speak to my heart if there's anything that you want me to know that I don't know, or if there are some areas of my life where I'm not doing things the way you expect me. I just want you to show me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's one of the best ways to pray. Rather than to just say, God, give me bread today. And then I'll see you later in the day. When the bread is finished, I'll come back for more. I'm just going to God and just saying, Father, I've just come to express my love for you. Oh, I just want you to know, I really love you. I thank you for being for me. I thank you, Lord, for all you have done for me so far. I just want you to know, I appreciate you, oh God. That's waiting upon the Lord. Or just sometimes, just go and give him some song. Just making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's waiting upon the Lord. That's why David said, on thee I do wait all day. Remember, he wrote so much of the psalm. You need to see. Nobody can write such beautiful psalms without really knowing God. He knew God, really, David. He knew God. He knew God because he waited upon him. So you have to wait upon him. In front of that, please write the scriptures. Psalm 25 verse 5. Micah chapter 7 verse 7. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. Let's quickly turn to those three scriptures. Then I will highlight the three ways Bible teaches us, three major ways Bible teaches us to wait upon the Lord. You see, we just have to have clear understanding of these things. So we already I've read together Psalm 25 verse 5. Let's turn to Micah. Micah chapter 7. Verse 7 says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Hallelujah. Even Micah knew that God was the God of his salvation, and he knew how to get the salvation from God by waiting upon him. You want something from God? Learn to wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Because in the time of need, it will be there for you too. They that wait upon the Lord. That's what Isaiah 40:31 says, so we don't need to turn there. We all know that by heart. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you wait upon the Lord, you will gain his strength in your life, and you'll be able to overcome every adversity of life. Now, write this down. The three key ways of waiting upon the Lord according to the Bible. Number one way is to wait upon him in his word. Just as David said again in Psalm 25, you see, it's talking about the truth. Verse 5. Lead me in thy truth. What is truth? The word of God. So you wait upon God in his truth, which is his word. John chapter 17 verse 17, Bible says the word of God is truth. So you wait upon the Lord in his truth, which is his word. And that leads you to what Bible calls faith. You see, when you wait upon the Lord in his word, you will build yourself up in the faith of God. Because the faith of God comes to us through the word of God, according to Romans 10 verse 17. So when you wait upon the Lord in his word by spending time studying and meditating in the word, you are going to develop the faith of God in your life. And what that is going to bring to you, please write these scriptures, Psalm 25 verse 5 again. And then also Romans chapter 10 verse 17, and then Hebrews 11 verse 6. Romans 10, 17, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Now what that is going to do for you, when you build your life up in the faith of God, that will bring you to the position where you can believe God and obey him, do his word, and then that will help you to overcome every work of the devil. Because the devil is the spirit of disobedience. When you walk in obedience to God, you put yourself out of the hand of the devil, so to say. So when he shoots his arrows, they will not prosper against you. Because you are in the place of obedience. And God is keeping you in that secret place of obedience, shielding you from the enemy. Hallelujah. Number two way of waiting upon the Lord is in prayer. You wait upon the Lord in prayer. When you pray, particularly praying in line with the word of God, you are waiting upon the Lord. Psalm 69 verse 13, Psalm 88 verse 1. Quickly, let's turn there. Psalm 69 verse 13. See? Wait upon the Lord, number one, in the word, which is the truth. Number two, in prayer. Verse 13 says, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Hallelujah. You see how we combine the word of God and prayer together to get the salvation of God in this life. Psalm 88 verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Hallelujah. Again, the psalmist here, knowing God as the God of salvation, says, I cry day and night. In other words, I pray day and night unto you. So what will prayer then do for me as I wait upon the Lord in prayer? When you wait upon the Lord in prayer, your praying will release the power of God to get you out of that situation, to give you the salvation. That was why even Bible says in Acts chapter 16 verse 25, Paul and Silas were in prison, but they prayed and sang praises unto God, and God came. There was an earthquake in that prison. God set them free. You see, they did the right thing. Why? Because they knew God. They knew God. And in front of that last bit of the statement, James chapter 5 verse 16, Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified Version tells us, puts it this way, the heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. In other words, when we pray, we release the power of God. The God that we are crying to releases his power in response to our praying, and that power saves us out of the situation. Finally, number three way of waiting upon the Lord is in praise. You wait upon the Lord in praise. See, just like, you know, the worship leader led us to sing this morning, that's waiting upon the Lord, and we are declaring in his ears that we know who you are. We know who you are, O God. You are our way maker. You are the God who keeps promises. You are the promise keeper, O God. You are the God of miracles. You are the light in darkness for us. I mean, that's wonderful. God is hearing that in heaven and is so glad that, hey, my children know me. I will prove myself to them according to their knowledge and expectation of me. So while you are praising God, God will come. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 verse 3. So in front of that last point, please write the scriptures. Psalm 18 verse 46, Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, and Acts chapter 3 verse 18. Let's quickly look at those scriptures. Psalm 18 verse 46. Thank God, thank God, thank God. You see, when we just do the basic things we are sharing this morning and do them consistently, we will always experience the faithfulness of God in our lives. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hallelujah. So he's praising God. He's magnifying him, exalting him with his praise, declaring who God is as the God of his salvation. Of course, God will always reveal himself in that light. Isaiah 61 verse 10. We have to know the truth for ourselves. Don't depend on someone else's knowledge of God. Well, your knowledge of God can help somebody get to know God for themselves. That's all. But you cannot rely on somebody else's knowledge of God and think that will work for you. It's just like you watching someone eating food and thinking that because you are watching them eat food, you are going to be satisfied too. You have to get the food down into your belly yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Isaiah 61 verse 10. Let's read together. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. To be able to praise God as the God of your salvation. Acts chapter 3 verse 18. Acts 3 verse 18. Praise God. Let's pray together.
Not Acts. Why did I get to Acts? I wanted Habakkuk. I'm sorry. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18. Not Acts. I beg your pardon. Habakkuk. Thank God for Prophet Habakkuk. Hallelujah. We see him here praising the Lord, even in the midst of trouble, because he knew God as the God of salvation. For the sake of context, I'll read from verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Even Habakkuk knew God as the God of his salvation, saying, I will rejoice in him no matter how things look on the outside. Things may look impossible all around me. But I know one thing. If I rejoice in the God of my salvation and praise him, he will come and turn things around for me. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So write Psalm 22 verse 3 also. That's what the Bible says there. He dwells upon the praises. He is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Now let's commune with him before we go. Just turn your heart to Him this morning. For the next couple of minutes, forget about everyone else. Forget about everything else. No matter what your situation may be, no matter what your need may be, I want you to, right from the core of your heart, talk to God. He can hear you. You are His child. He looks on the inside of us, first and foremost, Bible says, man may look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. I want you to commune with Him right from the depth of your heart and acknowledge Him for who He is as the God of your salvation. Tell Him that you know Him as the God of your salvation. And if you have been looking to help, to other means for help rather than God, just repent and say, I'm sorry, Lord, for looking for help elsewhere apart from You. Forgive me for my ignorance. Now I know You. I haven't heard Your word. I know You as the God of my salvation. You are the source of all the help I need. You are the source of all the victories I need, all the success that I need. You alone, O God. And so I turn my heart to You, and my soul, and all areas of my life, I turn to You this morning as the God of my salvation. So do that. And then secondly, if you have done that, ask Him to help you where you need help this morning. See, the first thing is to acknowledge God for who He is. That's what Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 3. Bible says we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we should acknowledge Him. And then it will direct our path. So, having acknowledged God as the God of your salvation, now ask Him to help you where you need help this morning. Ask Him. Ask Him. He can hear your prayer. Ask Him. Just ask Him to help you. Ask Him in faith. Ask Him on the basis of His promise to you. If you need healing, for instance, ask Him for the healing because you know Him as the God of your salvation, who already promised you healing in His word, because with the stripes of Jesus, Bible says you are healed. Whatsoever you need, just ask God in line with His word. And if you have asked Him, now thank Him and praise Him for the help, for the salvation that He ministers to you in that situation. Thank Him. Go ahead and thank Him. You don't wait to see the physical manifestation before you begin to thank God. You start thanking Him from the moment you seek Him for help, because you have faith in Him. You know Him. He never fails. He's the promise keeper. He's the God who never fails to keep His word. And so you are expectant. You know He will do what He has promised concerning your situation. Therefore, it's just a matter of time before you see the manifestation. So go ahead and thank Him this morning. Thank Him for the salvation that you receive from the Lord, because you have sought Him and you have asked in faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You this morning for Your blessings upon Your people. We have shared Your word, the simplicity that You have presented it for us this morning. And now, behold the cries of Your people. Everyone looking to You for help in one aspect of need of the other. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release my faith and agreement with Your people, no matter the need. And I thank You for revealing Yourself as the God of salvation unto everyone under the sound of my voice, according as each one hopes in You. For You said in Your word that the expectation of the righteous shall never be forgotten. Thank You for remembering Your people this morning and visiting everyone of Your people desiring help from You in all aspects of need. And take all the glory, dear Lord, for Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.